Welcome. Thanks for joining us today on the Venture Podcast. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you along your journey.
Well, good morning, Venture. Come on, shake it off. You ate too much turkey or whatever it is. We're finishing out Thanksgiving weekend. So one last time, happy Thanksgiving. And before you sit down, I want you to turn to somebody. Tell them the best thing you ate over the last few days. Look them in the eye. Tell them the best thing you ate. Oh man, it sounds like we ate a lot of good things. I was gonna ask you to say the strangest thing you ate, but you might be sitting with the person who made the strange thing, and they think it's great, so we didn't wanna cause any family drama right here at the end of Thanksgiving weekend. Hey, I wanna welcome you. My name is Tim Lundy. It's my privilege to be able to serve here at Venture Christian. A little bit different service today. We kind of moved the sermon up a little bit, gave ourselves some time for worship at the end. And specifically, we're going to take some time to be able to take communion together. As we think about what we're thankful for as a church, there's nothing we're more thankful for than what Christ did for us. And so if you're here today, you have the opportunity to be able to do that, to be here with us. Make sure that you know in the coming weeks, there's so much going on. This is such a special season. In fact, next week, go ahead and adjust new service times. If you come normal time, you're gonna be late. Next Sunday, three services in the morning. We'll start at 8:30. 10:15, 11:45. So mark your calendar, set your clocks, do whatever you have to do. We want you to be here, be a part of it. Probably gonna take a few weeks before everybody kind of settles out and has picked their service. So be gracious to each other. Just be nice to people as they're coming in. They're all trying to figure it out. Be some confused people around that. So we're excited about that. And this weekend is our biggest event that we do on the campus in the year. We do a lot of big events, big outreaches around that. Our biggest is Winter Wonderland. Hopefully you have been inviting friends and neighbors this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. We will have anywhere from probably 7 to 10,000 people, maybe more than that. We never know exactly during that time period. If you've never been a part of it, it's incredible. There's food trucks, there's a snow hill, there's train, there's bounce houses, there's all the things for the kids, family, hot chocolate. It's a wonderful time just to start your Christmas season. But more than that, it's a great time to invite a friend who might not ever step into a church, but they'd come to a Winter Wonderland. And this is why we do it. We do it to serve our community, to build relationships, to grow in that. So love for you to be a part. If you're available, we also need some more volunteers. Anybody that's willing to just come, be a part, be on the team, we will set you up with that. But you can sign up for that. If you look at the QR code or go by the hub, we'd love to get you if you want to volunteer and help us do what we're going to do this weekend. Hey, I love this season. I love all that's going on. I love the generosity of this church with it. For those who give, this is giving season. You're probably getting emails from so many. This is the season, and I am so thankful for those who give to the general fund of Venture that allows us to do all this ministry. I'm so thankful for those of you who are giving over and above to the Breakthrough Campaign. And I'm so thankful, especially this time of year, I'm thankful for our outreach fund that allows us to do outreach around the world, but especially here in the Bay Area. And over the last couple of weeks, between that fund and between your gifts, we've been doing different things. We did the turkey collection, and we were able to give about 110 frozen turkeys to City Team to be able to bless families that wouldn't have one for Thanksgiving. And so thanks for all who brought those. The Operation Christmas Child, we partnered with Venture Christian Academy, and together we did over 600 boxes. They came in with that and sent it out. VCA stepped up in an incredible way. Venture stepped up. Yeah, excited with that. We partner with local ministries who are making a difference, especially this time of year. I don't know if you think about those who are in poverty, those who struggle with homelessness or addiction that we see. One of our core partners is City Team. We partner with City Team. A lot of you have been instrumental in giving to and helping us transform the apartments they're doing to get people out of homelessness, to keep people, families together. We give significant, it's just one of our core ministries we support through that outreach fund. We received a certificate from them in the last couple of weeks. I just wanted you to hear it. We get to celebrate these kind of things. It said, this certificate is presented to Venture Christian Church in recognition of your inspiring partnership, your commitment and support to positively impact the lives of many overcoming poverty and addiction. City Team thanks you for your faithful giving. Over the last 17 years, Venture has given over $1 million to City Team. Yeah. And that's you guys. That's your generosity. And so I just want to encourage you, when you wonder, if you go online, you look at the different funds with it, that the outreach fund, it's outreach. It's around the world, but it's also right in our backyard. And it gives us those opportunities to be able to partner with ministries who are making a difference. Can we just stop for a moment, just thank God for all the different ways He's working through this church. He's working through the church across the Bay Area. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You for just the privilege it is to partner with ministries like City Team. We thank You that boxes are going out around the world right now. And there'll be children that will be their Christmas present. Lord, we thank You for the families that were able to celebrate Thanksgiving. We thank You for all over the world. You have resourced us to be able to bless others. And I thank You for those in this church that step forward time and time again because they want to share those resources around the world. Lord, as we come at the end of a great holiday, a great weekend, I pray that we would be people of gratitude, that it would mark us and change us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you know me, I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, especially as a pastor. There's no service connected to it, so I don't have to prepare service for it. It's a holiday. You don't have to buy a bunch of gifts for it. I love Christmas. Hear me, I love Christmas. But Thanksgiving, there's a simplicity about it. Any holiday that's built around food, football, and napping, I love. It's a wonderful thing. And even though it's not considered like we would the holy days of Christmas or Easter, I think it is one of the most spiritual days and one of the most spiritual concepts that we can embrace. And so as we're coming off of a Thanksgiving weekend, I want us to just take a little time and think about this holiday that first 1621, when the pilgrims, they celebrated together. They were there with the Wampanoag tribe who gathered with them. They had that first Thanksgiving feast. It became a holiday in 1863 when Abraham Lincoln instituted it for our country. And I think more than the date and more than the meal and more than anything else, as Christians, we should be the most grateful people. We should be the most thankful people. In fact, that's why you see it over and over again in Scripture. You see it time and time again in the New Testament. Paul tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He's saying all of your prayers should always be marked with thanksgiving. You should always have something to be able to tell God, even as you're making a request known to Him, you do it with a heart of thankfulness. He tells us in Ephesians 5, the people of God, you know what should mark how we talk to each other? Notice what he says, shouldn't. He said, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which is out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. When you see several Christians gathered together, you know what you should be hearing? Thanksgiving, thankfulness. In fact, later in this same chapter, he's gonna say, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the key things that marks a person who's living a Spirit-filled life, we always think it's gifts, we always think it's different parts of it. One of the core things Paul says is, people who live a Spirit-filled life, they're thankful. It just marks their life. In fact, I love how Thessalonians puts it. It says, rejoice always. You always are choosing joy as a Christian. You pray all the time. You pray without ceasing because there's always something to pray about. And then he says, give thanks. And notice what he puts here. In all circumstances. In all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you ever wonder what is God's will for my life, I can promise you, I don't know where he's maybe leading you in that moment, but I promise this is the will of God. He wants you to be thankful. He calls you to be thankful. He commands us to be thankful. Now, here's the thing, and you've heard me say it, and I'll say it again and again. Anytime you see a command from God, God always gives his commands because they're for his glory, and they're always for our good. They're always for our good. Because he's the designer of life. And so when he commands us to do something, I promise, and especially if you see a command that comes up over and over again in scripture, if you trace that command, it's always for the good of us because he's designed us in a way that if we'll actually obey him and respond to it, it changes us. And one of the things I love to do, I love to study, like when there's new science and new things that come out with it, where science finally catches up with what God's been telling us all along. And over the last about 20 years in particular, there's been several groups that have done what they call the science of gratitude. The science of gratitude. In fact, we're gonna walk through some of the impact where they're studying gratitude as a concept. And when they study gratitude, they're talking about specifically people that are developing a thankful mindset. And these aren't Christian groups per se. One of the big centers for it is up at UC Davis. They study the science of gratitude in it. But teaching people, how can you have a mindset of gratitude? You know, when you have little kids, you're always teaching them to say thank you. And we say it's good manners. This is more than manners, it's a mindset. It's one of the reasons you should teach them. Gratitude is actually something you can learn. Gratitude and having a mindset of gratitude is something you can actually train the brain. And so what scripture's commanding you to, it's not just this brute force, I gotta do this thing. There's actually a mindset to develop out of it. And it's not just optimism, because some of you right now, the more pessimistic people, I won't call you a pessimist, but more pessimistic people, you're just going, okay, Tim, here comes sermon on optimism and why I have to be an optimist. You can be an optimist without being grateful. There's a lot of narcissistic optimists. They're not grateful of anything. They think it's all about them. Optimistic. Now, you certainly want to have part of that mindset, but it's not just optimism. And the interesting part is they keep studying it, the impact of gratitude on the different areas of your life. That when you develop this kind of mindset for it, one of the key areas, it impacts mental health. In a time period when we are struggling more with mental health, we would do wise to step back and look at it and go, what do they mean when they say that? Here's the thing with it. The studies, when you start focusing on the positive aspects, when you're willing to think with a grateful thought connected to that, it leads to increased feelings of happiness, of contentment. It reduces stress and anxiety by triggering the feel-good neurotransmitters. The feel-good parts of your brain, like dopamine and serotonin, they're actually triggered by gratitude. And as that happens, you start rewiring your brain to the good things in life. It increases, and there's a list. There's all these articles around it. Positive emotional boost reduces a negativity bias. If you have a negativity bias that your brain just naturally captures in that loop of negativity and you can start spiraling from that, one of the quickest ways to stop it and break the pattern is just start thinking of things and people that you're thankful for. It's one of the core ways around it and rewiring with it. It reduces stress by regulating your cortisol. It actually keeps your cortisol from spiking, and so it's actually a way to reduce stress around it. It builds emotional resilience in life with it. Again, I will say, in a time when so many people are struggling with mental health, you do well to pay attention to it. It's fascinating. It's not just mental health, though. Through all the different test groups, the other trickle-down effect is they started seeing physical health improve. Now, part of it makes sense. If you're boosting the right neurotransmitters, if you're reducing your cortisol, it helps your heart. It also helps. Now, when I say physical health, it's not curing cancer. But they are finding out of it, people with respiratory infections, headaches, digestion issues, dizziness, sleep problems, it's helping reduce those things in all of their gratitude groups with that. One of the key areas is relational health. Relational health. And the way that it does it is when you start practicing gratitude, you feel kindness toward people, you express the kindness, they then reciprocate. Gratitude is one of the things that's almost always reciprocated. It produces a feeling of connection to a person. It produces pro-social activity for the people who start practicing it and then they start receiving it. And especially for couples, couples in a marriage or in a relationship, they call gratitude the relational boost. It's one of the core things that actually strengthens a partner, that a couple, and you may be caught in a cycle of negativity right now as a couple, and it's easy to do, where you find yourself, all you're doing is focused on what the other person's doing wrong, and they keep doing wrong. If one will commit themselves to a cycle of gratitude toward a partner, it produces a cycle of generosity. We're going to do a marriage conference again in the spring. I'm going to speak at it, and Lee and I are going to be a part of it. I've been, you know, prepping for it and reading. One of the experts I like reading the most is John Gottman, Dr. John Gottman, who now he's partnered now with his wife, Julie Schwartz Gottman. And Gottman, again, I don't think he's a believer, but I think he does some of the best study on relationships, couples, marriage with that. And as they said, as we've looked across relationships, we've looked at different things, you can have different partners, you can have relationships that fight more, you can have relationships that, man, they have different struggles with it. The one consistent thing they see in healthy marriages is thankfulness. Expressed thankfulness. They said, man, when you see that, it marks a relationship. And part of what happens is when you stop thanking, you can start getting an attitude that I'm carrying more of the weight. I do more around here. I do that. And that frustration, if you force yourself again, and I'm going to teach you some of the tools of developing gratitude, if you force yourself to start going, hey, what are the things I am thankful for that my partner brings? And have I expressed it? And the key is there's so many things they do every day, you kind of take it for granted and you stop thanking them for it. And as Gottman points out, he goes, it's interesting. You will thank strangers all day long. They hold a door open for you. They, you know, grab a bag. They do any little thing and you're like, oh, thank you so much. And you go home and this partner that has been cleaning or cooking or providing or cutting the yard or do the things they do all the time, and you never say thanks. He said, if a couple will choose to do it, it's amazing the boost that it does. Now look at this, mental health, physical health, relational health. When God commands us to be grateful, to be thankful people, anytime God commands, but in this area, it's for our good. It's for your good. It's not just this good thing to do. It's not just this sweet manner to have. It's not just, oh, isn't it good? They're so thankful. It's a core thing that you and I need to practice every day. So how do we do this? Well, let me break down the elements of gratitude for you. I'm gonna teach you a Latin word, bene. Bene, well or good comes from bene. You see it and you think Italian and Spanish and that, the roots that go back to that bene. In English, we've got a few words that build off of bene. And so there's the key if you're gonna build in your gratitude. First one is benefits. These are good things. You know, when you get a job, what's one of the things that you ask? What are the benefits? What's the good things that come with it? And so a core part of developing gratitude is you've got to start looking for what are the good things in my life? What are the good things around me? Now, I know as I say that, especially if you're in a hard season or our brains, a lot of us, and especially in this culture, we immediately go to the bad things. And notice, if you ever notice, the news never leads with the good things. Why? Because bad news sells. good news doesn't. Our brains a lot of times go to not the good things about us or our lives, they usually go to the bad things. So a core part of this, and in almost every one of the studies, the groups, whenever they work with it, and again, when I talk about the studies, I'm not talking about Christian groups. Most of these are just scientific studies they've done with it where they've taught people to develop gratitude. I just think Christians have a built-in advantage. And so when they do that, almost invariably, if it's some form, you'll identify three good things in your life every day. Identify three good things. And it doesn't have to be huge, but you just stop for a minute and you go, you know, this is a good thing. Now, when you do that, here's another bene word, beneficiary. And we usually use that with like life assurance. Who's going to get the money? I get the good thing with that. Well, this is the receiver of good things. And so as they do that, the first thing that you learn is I got to learn, okay, what are the good things that maybe I'm overlooking? Good things I've taken for granted, good things I have every day. And how am I the receiver of it? You start realizing there's so many good things in my life I didn't cause. There's so many good things that others did for me, and I'm the receiver. And it's this moment, gratitude is a great exercise in humility as well. You start realizing, man, there's so many people that are contributing to my life. And if I'll stop and think about those. And then as I do that, the last one is benefactor, the giver of the good things. So then I start tracing it. And this is the exercise that you go with, like, I think about the good thing. I think about how I have benefited from it. And then who is it that gave that to me? And often when they're training groups, when they train just general groups, even scientific group, they train them a lot like AA. They go, man, if you don't have God or any of that, at least give some attribution to a higher power. It's amazing to develop gratitude. You need that sense of a higher power. Some do it for the universe or that. It's fascinating to me that all these groups that want to change the way people think, they have to revert to a higher power because there's a part of our soul that longs for the transcendent. Now, here's the good news for Christians. We know who the higher power is, don't we? And we actually get to call him Dad. See, James says it this way. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Every perfect gift, every good thing. And so part of this training is if you will stop, and three is kind of the magic number to start developing a habit with that, and you go through those different parts, you still go, man, what are the good things? No matter how bad life is, what are the good things? Who are the people that gave them? How did I benefit from that? I'll do it real quick for you. I just took a few minutes. I was thinking about it even this morning. As I think about good things in my life, coming off this weekend, I mean, for me, core thing, family immediately jumps out. Man, I love having a big family. I love all of our kids. There's challenges that come with that. There's finances, all the different parts. But I'm telling you, you're sitting around a table and the kids with it, and immediately when I start thinking about the good thing of that, I think about Lee and her investment and all that she sacrifices and all that she does to make it in my life a good thing. I think about each of the kids, and they're wired so differently, and they each uniquely bring joy into my life. I was thinking about it. Each of them make me smile in a little different way. Just something about their life and what they're doing out of that. And then I stop and I go, man, all of that comes from God. Especially as I think back on childhood and losing my dad and some of the dysfunction and parts that you grow up in, and to be able to experience the gift of it, I just go, oh, thank you, God. Guys, it took me about 3 minutes to walk through that. Another gift. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for Venture. And when I stop, I go, out of every spot on the planet that I get to be a part of a church, it's here in the Bay Area. I don't think there's a more strategic place to do church, to be a church, than here. And I get to be a part of it. And I look at it and I realize, oh man, I'm so thankful that I followed such a strong Bible teacher and leader in Chip Ingram. He handed off a healthy church. The gift that is, unbelievable. I'm so thankful for our elder board. You guys have no clue of the weight that they carry, the work that they do, because they don't want a bunch of attention for it, all of them. They're not attention grabbers, but they're godly people and godly men who serve and love this church. I am so thankful for our staff. Our staff is so talented and so gifted. And I look, like this week, we're coming up on Winter Wonderland. You know, our staff, they will serve all of those days. All of that's over on top of their regular job. And they do it because they love our community. They love you guys. They want to reach the world with it. But I love, they always have that roll up their sleeves. Let's tackle it together. Let's go for it. And then, you know, finally, when you think about the church, I'm so thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the people who come here. We have such good people at this church. We don't have any perfect people. So if you hang around long enough, you'll find that out. But we have good people and kind people and thankful and generous people out of it. And I say that. I've got friends who are pastors all over. And sometimes they tell me about some of the things they're dealing with at their church. And I'm like, yikes. If they leave there, don't send them to our church. Now again, when I start going, I'm thankful for Venture, I start listing off things and I realize in the middle of that, I'm just riding this wave of good that I'm the beneficiary of. And I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of that. I don't know what's going on in your life because some of you are going through really hard times and you may need to hear this the most. There's good in your life. God's working in your life. But you've got to actually have a mindset to start recognizing that. So let me give you a few questions. Just for you, what do you think about more? Do you think about the benefits in your life or the barriers? You think about benefits or barriers? And again, this is part of the, when they do studies with it, they help people identify, what's your natural wiring? Do you every day when you get up in the morning, do you think of what's coming at you, what's against you, what's bad? Or would you stop and go, okay, what is good? What am I starting with? What do I have? That's why I think God created coffee. It's just every day, I just start with something, I go, okay, life's good. When you put your head down on your pillow at night, what comes to you? What you didn't get done, what you should have done, what's wrong with you? Man, it's a recipe for misery. See, part of it is recognizing in every life there are headwinds. There's things coming at you. We all have challenges coming at us. But you can't ever forget there are tailwinds that blew you to where you are. And if all you do is focus on the headwinds without the tailwinds, you're forgetting. That's why worship, by the way, is so important, because it gives us a chance every week collectively we remember what God's done. That's why Psalm 103, I love this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, look what he says, don't forget the benefits. You ever notice how many times in the Psalms they talk to their own souls? And it will usually be this line, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't be downcast, O my soul. Don't lose hope, O my soul. Why are they talking like that? Because at a soul level, we have a propensity to forget. And so one of the core parts of worship, and this is what daily gratitude is, just daily worship. That bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget, look at the benefits. He forgives your sins, your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with his steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's why it's so important that it's not just, oh, I'm doing this gratitude exercise. I'm tying it to a praise exercise. And one of the things we're going to roll out next year, and it's still in development, we've had teams that are working on it, is the Venture app. Remember I told you about the Venture app? And one of the core features of the Venture app is going to be around gratitude. To have a tool to help us every day think about and worship God through our gratitude. I can't wait. That's just one of the awesome tools. With that, second question I'd ask you is, what characterizes what you say more, gratitude or grumbling? You start talking about when you talk and when you speak, are you a person that's expressing a lot of gratitude, or are you a person that finds yourself grumbling more? So you grumble about what you have to do around the house. You grumble about nobody appreciating you. You grumble about work. You grumble about life. And it may not even be out loud. You just grumble to yourself all the time. Isn't it interesting, as they traced countries and people who are grateful, that in the country where we have the most material blessings in the world, gratitude is actually dropping. People feel it the least. Now again, part of it is how your brain works. You know, I've taught you in the past about the whole concept of the what they call the hedonic treadmill. That when you make a jump and you're so thankful. So let's say you get a huge raise at work or a new job, or you win the lottery even, and you make a financial jump and you're so thankful, life is so good. You know what your brain does though? It gets used to it. And after a while it becomes the new normal. Get a new house and you tell yourself, I will never need another house again. This is the greatest house in the world. What happens? You get used to it. And then you see the new appliances that have come out. Ooh, or the new things they're doing. You get a new car and you love your baby and you say, I will never need a new car again. What happens? It becomes a new normal at some point. And the things that during that jump we were so grateful for, we just start forgetting. And grumbling is usually recognition of a sense of entitlement. Because I start telling myself, well, I work hard, and yeah, I make a lot of money. I deserve this. I deserve what I have. I deserve better vacations. I deserve these things. And whenever you see entitlement go up, gratitude always goes down. Always. And so one of the healthiest things to do is just check yourself and go, okay, am I grumbling? Paul puts it this way. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Why? So that you can be blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked, it should not be cooked generation, crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sun. It is cooked a little bit too, I'll tell you that. What he's saying is, grateful people stand out. Because most people grumble. When do you grumble the most? I was sitting there doing this exercise this week. I realized I grumble almost constantly when I drive. I really do. I grumble. And as I traced it back, it's a sense of entitlement. I feel like I'm entitled to drive on a road without idiots. I'm still struggling. You can tell even in my words now with that. No, I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, Tim, you know, what, you're so important compared to everybody else on the road. And so part of one of the things I did lately is I've been noticing where bus stops are. And I started just asking myself, what if you didn't have a car and every day just to get to work or go anywhere, you had to take the bus? Some of you take the bus. And you know the challenge that is. And I just thought, oh, even delayed? I'm so blessed. So stop grumbling, Tim. It hadn't impacted the grumbling yet. I'm getting there though. See, it's not just a stop grumbling, it's replacing it with something out of that. The third question is, are you thankful in the good times and the bad times? good and bad. And this is one of the key things with it. You have to make a choice out of that, not just to be grateful when life is good. It's interesting to me, you know, in 1621, when the pilgrims had that meal, that Thanksgiving meal, and we have all the pictures and the kids dress up with it, it was during one of the worst years they had had as a settlement. They had lost more children, people that had starved to death. They almost got back on the boat and went back to England. Now, part of it was their thankfulness to the Native Americans and others who shared with them. But it was this choice to be thankful. When Abraham Lincoln instituted Thanksgiving as a national holiday, guys, it was in 1863 in the middle of the Civil War. It's right after Gettysburg. And Lincoln came, and if you read his address, he said in it, we have to recognize as a nation, as a people, our Father, and be thankful for the good. See, the reason that you have to do that is you have to recognize that I actually believe God is using even the hard things for my good. That's what Romans 8, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. He's working it to our good. There was a rabbi that was teaching on this concept, and he says, you should give thanks at all times because we're always in danger of being thankful only when good things come our way. And when we do that, our threshold of gratitude gets higher and higher, and we become ungrateful people. See, being changed by God, and if you've walked with God long enough, even some of the hardest times in your life, you look back on them and you go, I don't want to go through that again, but I'm thankful for the good that God was able to bring out of it. Gratitude. It's not just a good manner. It's not just optimism. It's fundamental to the Christian life, and it's for our good. And so let me give you just some gratitude builders. If you want to grow in this, here's three ways. One, if you would every day identify three things that you're thankful for every day. Now, to really make it stick, here's what they suggest. Write them down. Keep a little pad and write down your three things every day. Ones who did it over about a three-month period, they saw a gratitude mindset extend almost a year, even when they stopped. So if you just started that every day. Another way of doing it as well is create a list of the people you're grateful for. Just sit down and write out a list. Who am I grateful for? Now, bonus, what if you started tracking when you expressed it? Oh, I'm grateful for my wife. Okay, when'd you tell her? What'd you tell her? What specifically? My kids, my coworker. Another way that you can train in it is write one letter a month. This is another way, it'll rewire your brain. Write one letter a month and actually write a letter, not an email, not a text. It actually requires a letter. Part of it is it stimulates a part of your brain in writing with it. Write a letter, think about it. And a bonus, if you really want to make it powerful in the connection, sit down with the person and read it to them. Now, it may be a person who's already passed away. You'd be amazed the power of writing out a letter to a parent, a friend, somebody you've even lost, what it does to your brain with gratitude. I'd encourage you, pick one of these. Pick something that you do off of it. Otherwise, it will just be a sentiment. It'll be this thing, oh yeah, I should do that more. It's a habit, it's a core, it's a mindset. In fact, we're gonna do something a little bit different. It's Thanksgiving weekend. And so if you're here alone, this would be a great time. Maybe you can sit down and pull out that sermon note page. It's blank. It's for you to write on. Think of the people that you're grateful for. Maybe think of the three things right now. If you're here and you're sitting with friends or you're sitting with family, I want you to turn to each other and tell them a couple of things you are so grateful for. Look them in the eye. Go, you know, I'm so thankful. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be life-shattering. Just something you're actually grateful for. If you got your kids with you, you can share as a family, you can share with friends with it. If you're here alone, man, just take some time and identify these things. We're gonna take a little time and do this, and then we're gonna move into a time of worship that prepares us for the thing that as a church we're most grateful for, the sacrifice of Jesus. All right, talk amongst yourselves.
Would you guys stand as we're going to continue to sing? Let's sing about the 10,000 reasons we have to worship our Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Near and my time has come, and still my soul sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, we sing forevermore, we bless your name, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
We want to turn our time now, a time of giving thanks. Specifically, we want to remember and give thanks for the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he gave us a way of doing so. As a church, we call communion. We celebrate it once a month here at Venture. It was given to us from Jesus on the last night when he was with his disciples. And the Apostle Paul writes of that night. Listen to his words. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so Paul is teaching us, and notice he says, as often. That's why we do it regularly. It's to be something that we do often, to remember that Jesus Christ's body was broken for us. Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us. Because of that, we have a new covenant, a new relationship with God. And so everyone who takes communion, that's what you're professing. You're professing your remembrance of what Christ did, but you're also professing that I have received that sacrifice, that he's my Savior and he's my Lord. You know, we call it communion. If you grew up maybe in the Catholic Church or traditional church, it's often called the Eucharist. You know where that word Eucharist comes from? You know what it actually means? It's from Eucharisto, to give thanks. And it comes from this passage, because notice what Jesus did before he handed out the meal. He stopped, and it's amazing to me. He was thankful. And you look at it, he was thankful even though it meant his body would be broken. He was thankful even though it meant his blood would be shed. He was thankful because he knew the gift it would be to each one of us. And so every time we take it, there should be a spirit of thankfulness that overwhelms us as followers of Jesus for what he's done. Now, we don't do this as a ritual. And so I would encourage you, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you haven't received that gift, when the trays come and they pass it out, I don't take it just to take it. It's an expression that I've received his gift in that. I would encourage you as well, Paul writes in this passage, that if there's any part of your life, there's anything that you're kind of holding out on, anything that maybe God's been convicting you about that you don't want to give to him, you want to keep control. Paul said, if there's anything like that, don't take it. That's taking it in an unworthy manner. In other words, you're taking the communion and the sacrifice, but you don't really want to lay your life under that sacrifice. And so he says, in those cases, even as a Christian, don't take if that's true of you. But for most of us, this is a time that maybe there is a sin you've been struggling with. It's a great time for you to go, God, I'm so sorry. And I lay that under the foot of the cross again. Maybe this is a time for you to express your faith that you go, I do believe his sacrifice. I do believe that gift. We're going to have the ushers come. They're going to hand out the elements. I'll have them come down. There's two cups in every little slot. Pick up both of them. One of them has a little wafer in it. One of them has the cup with the juice in it. If you'll hold it there, it's a great time to reflect. Our worship team will lead us in some worship in this time. And then I'll come back up. And together we'll give thanks to Jesus by taking together.
We hope today's message encouraged you in your journey of faith. To keep up with the latest messages and what's happening, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and visit venture.cc.